Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. If you haven't already, would you take a second to subscribe to this podcast? That means every Monday when a new podcast comes out, it'll just show up in your queue ready to listen to. It also helps Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else know that you like the show and it'll recommend it to others. And if you really want to help us out, you could leave a rating or review. Reviews are life to podcasts, and yours would mean the world to me. Hey friends, today we're sitting down with Kristen Jensen, the author of Good Picture, Bad Picture. She's all about protecting young minds, and today we are talking very candidly about pornography and the damages of it and how to talk to our kids about it. You know, I always want to give you a heads up when little ears may be listening, so this is probably a good one for some headphones. Then go out and get Kristen's book to help you have some awesome conversations with your little ones, or not so little ones. These conversations don't have to be scary or daunting, and I can't wait for you to hear Kristen's heart behind them. You guys, with zero chill, I have to remind you, or tell you for the first time even, that my book, It's Time for Jesus, is out now. Can you even believe it? You may be thinking, wait, what book? What are we even talking about, Jeanette? Well, let me tell you, for the past 2 years, I've been pouring my heart and soul into a 30-day devotional called It's Time for Jesus, believing the truth of who you are right where you are. This devotional is packed full of stories and lessons that God has taught me, Bible stories that have shaped the way I think, and words that I wrote. I can't even believe it. This book has been prayed over, and it is for you. I am just over the moon and so dang proud of it, and I would love for you to grab your copy on Amazon now. Get ready because we're going to do some sort of book club, Bible study, or group devo. I just can't wait. Y'all, it's time for Jesus. Grab your copy now. And one last thing before we get started, I have to tell you about a beautiful gift I received in the mail recently. It's the most beautiful handmade macrame wall hanging. It's by my new friend Bethany from RFW Handmade, and it is so lovely, and it will be hanging prominently in my home. Y'all, I love when we use the gifts that God has given us to create beauty and encourage others and just shine. It makes me so happy. So y'all must go check out Bethany over on Instagram at RFW_handmade to see her beautiful creations and get one for yourself. You can purchase one from Etsy, Instagram, or by email, and each piece is handmade. Okay, go check out the description and check my pictures out on Instagram because they're so beautiful. I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Bethany. Okay, are you ready for an amazing conversation with my friend Kristen? Y'all, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with Kristen Jensen of Protect Young Minds. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about pornography, the dangers of porn. So I'm going to say it now if I haven't said it in the intro already. This is one to grab your earbuds. Put them in. We're going to talk a lot about porn, pornography, dangers, all of that stuff on the internet. This is a good one. Unless you want to pause it and talk to your kids right away about porn, put your headphones in. And then we've got great resources for you to talk to your kiddos afterwards. So Kristen, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited that you're here.
Jeanette, I'm grateful to be here with you, and it's such an important topic and one that we can help each other with.
Yeah,
it's absolutely not so hard.
It really isn't. And that's something like you and I talked about just prior to recording, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but it really is. Once you open this conversation, it's not so big and scary anymore. And that's important. But before we get going, Kristen, what's in your cup?
What's in my cup? Well, today I have, I kind of got into yerba mate. I'm kind of an herbal tea gal.
I like that.
So
okay.
Yerba mate, because I have a friend in Argentina that told me all about it. It does give you a little pick-me-up.
Very good.
And I also, but I combine it with the Republic of Tea Peppermint Chocolate Herbal Tea.
Ooh, that sounds so fancy.
It is really, it's really good.
Good. That sounds very delicious. Well, today's been kind of a runaround for me. I'm in my best friend's mom's house. And so my husband had to bring me my computer charger. So many things have happened today. And he was like, you ran by the coffee shop. I'm like, I was sad and I wanted a chai tea. So my cup today is a chai tea latte from my favorite coffee shop. Oh, what a day. Kristen, I'm so excited that you're here because we are talking about porn-proofing our kids. And it's there's a statistic I read a while back, and you can probably correct me because you know better than I, but kids are being introduced to porn as young as 7. Is that right?
Kids are being introduced to porn as young as 3.
As young as
any child has access to the internet.
True.
So there's no, you know, it's a tricky kind of thing to try to get a statistic about this. It would be difficult and maybe even unethical to do, to talk to young children and say, have you ever seen, and do a study, you know?
Right.
But for parents, you know, we need to start at a young age. We need to start when children have any access to the internet. I've heard stories of 5-year-olds on the school bus and getting shown porn. 3-year-olds sitting next to their moms on a couch and they, you know, are on their iPad, and, you know, before they know it, they've followed something and they are into porn. So this is not something that most kids go looking for, at least most young kids, but the porn industry is looking for them.
Yeah.
They want their eyeballs. They want their clicks. That all goes into the porn industry's new business model. Because it used to be you had to kind of buy all the porn.
Right.
Now there's a lot of porn like YouTube. It's like YouTube. Yeah. You get a lot of stuff for free, but there's premium. And so then you can pay, right? There's the free level and the premium level. A lot of the free level, well, that's all paid for by clicks, by ads. And so the porn industry is definitely going after your kid, whether your kid is looking for it or not.
Right.
They're very sophisticated at it.
Oh my gosh. One of the things, so I was on my internet browser. I was getting onto my Yahoo email. And there was like one of the taglines on the Yahoo News was like, how is the porn industry going to come back from COVID-19? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. The porn industry is hurting due to the COVID-19 rules in production. Oh man. Like, and then I was also thinking like, are we so oblivious? And I think that we are. Are we so oblivious that they're outright saying, oh man, how are we going to follow protocols with COVID-19 if we're making porn? And it's like, you're blatantly saying that you're making porn. Like, this is not okay. This is not okay. I was like shocked.
Jeanette, they have trade shows and trade, you know, publications, just like every other industry.
It makes me so sad because when I grew up, it was a very secret and very private thing. And now we have friends who their high schoolers were kind of like, the phones were being passed the locker room. I'm like, this is no longer a secret sin.
Yeah, that's middle school.
It's terrifying.
That's sixth grade. That's unfortunately, but the good news is there's something we can do about this, right?
Absolutely.
We're not going to just roll over and put our heads in the sand and say, and cross our fingers and say, I hope my kid never sees it. My kid's a good kid. I'm a good mom. Therefore, you know, nothing bad will happen. Now that doesn't work. But there are some proactive steps we can take that do work. And
Absolutely.
They do help children create this sometimes daunting digital world. It's a wonderful world, but it can be daunting.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest steps to take is the internet blocking and the internet safety guides is one step. But what you do is you teach the person, you teach the kid what to do from the very beginning. And you have 2 books, some great resources. And it's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And then you have Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior. So what made you want to write these books? Was it just the danger in seeing how this is affecting our kids? Or like, how did this start for you?
I got a call one night from a mom. She was very upset. I just met her and we talked till 1:30 in the morning and we talked about her son, her 17-year-old son, who had, they had found out that he was sexually molesting his younger brothers and sisters. This was a large family, homeschooling, you know, because she wanted to protect her kids.
Right.
Well, when the internet comes into your house, that, you know, all bets are off on that. So he had started to sexually experiment and with his younger brothers and sisters, and he had to go away, and they had to go to counseling. And I realized that porn was a part of all of this. And I woke up the next morning with this, just feeling this compulsion, like I had to find a resource for her. And I went to the internet, I was doing all my searches, and I thought, oh, there'll be like several books on this, because obviously it's a problem.
Right.
So there's probably one of those children's books that help parents broach this topic, have this conversation, begin the conversation, but I couldn't find anything.
And how long ago was this? Because I don't think it was too terribly long ago.
Well, it was about 6 years ago. No. That was when we published way back in 2011.
Yeah.
That I, got woke to this, issue.
That's only 9 years ago. That means, yeah. I mean, and my son is 13. So, yeah. I mean, there's just, that wasn't that long ago.
No. And so I started researching and I thought, you know, this can't be that hard to boil this down so that a child could understand this. And I started working on it, and it took 3 years actually to pull it together. Because it actually is not about porn, about saying the word sex. These books you can read to your children before you have that talk. Although I would highly recommend that you begin those earlier than you think.
Yes. So I made sure that you could read good pictures, bad pictures to your children even before you started the talks about sexual intimacy. Because kids are seeing pornography younger and younger, and they need to know what to do so they're not caught off guard. None of us do very well when we're caught off guard. So they need to understand what you expect them to do and what is out there. So I started writing that one, and that became an instant number one bestseller on Amazon. I was shocked. But as more and more people heard about it, and I gave presentations. I had parents coming to me and to friends that were helping me and asking for a younger version. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time a mom came up to me after one of my presentations, and she said, do you ever think you'll write a book for like three-year-olds? And it felt like someone had like sucker punched me. It almost took the wind out of me. And I was just like, three-year-olds. But then I realized every three-year-old's on an iPad, yeah. You know, and, or a lot of them are, right? So I started to look into ways like, how could we even simplify this message even more, make it into a kind of a fun picture book, not any bad pictures. Okay. I've been asked that before. Are there bad pictures? No, only good pictures. And then that one came out in 2017, and that's also been a number one bestseller on Amazon. So obviously it's meeting a need, and I'm really grateful that it's helping parents.
Absolutely. And I think that there's beauty in knowing that your work is needed and that it's so important. And so like I told you before, we have read through this book with our kids. We kind of like, even like, it's just left on our dining or on our coffee table. Like it's just out there. Like kids can pick it up. We also leave the book out, The Story of Me, which is the story of like how to have a baby and what sex is like. And just so that these things are kind of talked about within our home. We have a rule in our family that says we talk about things until they're not awkward anymore, which mostly is for me because like I grew up in a Southern Baptist home and sex was either a joke or don't do it. It's do not. And so there's this difference between intimacy and porn. And so how did you walk this line of, we're not going to talk about sex because sex is different than porn. Cause I feel like there is a difference, and maybe, I mean,
oh, yeah.
We want to teach our kids too. Sex is like from the Lord and this is good and holy. Porn is not. This is bad.
Porn is a great toxic counterfeit of sex and what sex, the purpose of sex and the healthy, you know, healthy sex. And I actually have on our website, we have an article about seven, you know, crucial comparisons that you can make between healthy sex and porn sex. And as you compare those, you can help your child, especially as they get a little older, understand the difference and how one is the exact opposite of the other. One is beautiful and the other one is really ugly and depraved. And yet it's addicting. And so that's what the first book, Porn Proofing, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Porn Proofing Today's Young Kids is all about.
Yeah.
And it's about helping kids understand really how it affects your brain.
Yeah.
And it can become an addiction.
I just had our family doctor on the podcast. And one thing, and I didn't know this, but when Jesse, my husband, took our oldest son in for a physical for middle school, he sat him down and he talked about porn. He said, hey, this is what porn is. You probably have seen some, like, let's be honest. This is what it does to your brain. This is what it does to your body. And he broke it down from the mind to the soul. And I was like, thank you. Cause we talk about it, but when somebody else we trust and respect and love breaks it down that way, I was like, okay. And so then I'm like, I know that our younger son's going in soon. I'm like, Jesse, you have an appointment to go to, cause this is something you and Brett get to sit down and talk to them about. And it's just for a family physician to have these conversations. And he says the next one is like, here's how we present ourselves on social media to where we're not seeking approval or anything else out there. So I'm just so honored that we get that kind of affirmed within our family and even in that way.
I would say that the more people in your community and the more influences like that you can have on your children, because you can tell them something,
right?
But if they hear it, and even I've heard that when a child has read Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, they're very impressed. Like, oh, it's not just my mom telling me this or my dad. There's somebody else. There's like a book about it. And then if you have, you know, someone like your doctor, your pastor, you know, a teacher, if all of these people are saying the same thing, this isn't healthy, this isn't good, stay away from it, it'll hurt you, then they, I think, start to get that message that and feel like this is really credible.
Yeah. And we have a friend group, and this is something like I say that we have this and it's very important to me, and our listeners know that community is very important to me. But like, we have people in our life who have struggled with porn addictions. And so it's not something we like throw around there flippantly, but we also have said like, hey, if this is a struggle that you are going to face, we have men in our life that will walk alongside you, that will hold you accountable. But we also kind of all gather as like a family group and have these, like, we have this book that's been passed around our whole friend group. And it's like, if all of our kids know that we're all on the same page and that we all stand together to protect them, but also like we can protect them only so far, right? They have, you know, our teenagers have phones in their pockets. They have access to the internet in a really scary way. It's locked down, but it's still, the porn industry is tricky and kids are curious. And so there's ways around it. But as a community, as a body of believers, if we can stand up and say like, we will not stand for this, then I think we have a fighting chance.
Yeah. It's so important to have like I said, so many voices in the community.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has younger children and she started to talk to like whenever a new person or they met a new friend or somebody moved in the neighborhood or whatever, she would approach that parent and say, so, you know, what do you think about this problem? And if they just like, oh no, we're not worried about that or whatever, like she wasn't going to let her kids play with them. Not, at least not go over to their house. She was going to be very careful. Right. And she would even offer to lend them a copy of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures and say, and she said the people that took it seriously and would read the book, she said, those were the people that I wanted around my kids, because I felt like they also were getting the same message about pornography, and we're all on the same page. So there's definitely something, a strength in that kind of community.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's just power. There's power there.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
We don't have time for fluff in our Bible studies. They can't just skim the surface. They need to go deep into Scripture and actually help us connect with God. Well, good news. Teresa Anderson, a.k.a. the pink-haired theologian, just released her Get Wisdom Bible Studies that are beautiful, approachable, and deep. Teresa is living proof that you can be a Bible nerd and be proficient at Instagram. We'd show you how beautiful these studies are, but this is a podcast. So go to getwisdombiblestudies.com to see them yourself, watch Teresa break down each study, and get free downloads for your small group. It's all at getwisdombiblestudies.com.
So you have been in this kind of overwhelming industry, fighting this and learning, you know, I think one of the things you like on your website, don't you have like tips from the FBI, like how to protect our kids on the internet? Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so amazing.
The FBI came out with a report. This is years ago, actually, but they're saying that one of the biggest growing problems was sextortion. For kids. Sextortion, meaning they were getting extorted to send pictures, nude pictures, people they meet, just game, you know, on a game, but, or on TikTok, right? Something right. like that, where our kids, we used to raise them and they were fairly sheltered. You know, it was our neighborhood. That's who they had access to. Now they have access to the whole world.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not safe. So yeah, the FBI has definitely are seeing the problems associated with porn, because porn is fueling the demand for all of this child porn. So yeah, it can be pretty scary. You know, these sextortion rings, they have specialists. They have somebody that is really good at starting a relationship with the child. Then they hand them off to the next one who's really good at getting them to send a picture. And then the third one is really good at getting them to send sexual pictures and threatening them and extorting them. So they have these rings. They have it. They're highly organized. It's a real thing that we have to be very careful about when our kids are playing games online. Yeah. And, you know, this is all forms of sexual exploitation are connected. Pornography, prostitution, sex trafficking, all of these are interconnected. So when we hopefully are reducing the demand for pornography, we're also not fueling some of these other things. So really important to teach our kids to reject pornography for many, many reasons.
Absolutely. And this is the basis of your book. You have steps within your book that says, oh my gosh, a bad picture popped up. What are you going to do? So you walk us through, like, okay, tell somebody, like, oh, hey, mom, something popped up. Close your eyes. Like you have these tangible tips that even a 13-year-old, something pops up, he's like, what do I do now? Like his eyes go closed. Like, he's like, ah, hold on. Something happened. It's like, mom. And so I love that you give, like, hey, while this is a huge and scary problem, we are not helpless. And we can raise our kids to be bigger than this problem, right? What are some of the ways you talk about, like, what do you do if you see porn?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll just give three things that every child needs to know to be ready to reject pornography. The first is an age-appropriate, simple definition of what porn is.
Yeah.
And that was probably the hardest part of the book to write.
I bet.
is that definition. And what we have in the book is something like, pornography means pictures of people with little or no clothes on that focus on the private parts of the body we keep covered with a swimsuit. Mm. Basically, you're talking about nudity of the private parts, right?
Yeah.
And that's important. You don't want to give them all of the horrible, you know, degraded darkness of porn, but you do want to give them enough information that they can recognize it. So, right. So important to recognize it. So that's the first thing, a definition. The second thing is a warning or a reason to reject it, right? The warning that can be harmful to your brain, that it can cause an addiction, that it changes how you look at people. It teaches you to objectify people. And there's actually a lot of racism in porn. They just really play on all the racist stereotypes. And it's horrific what they do. You know, I would say, you know, right now we're having a lot of discussion about race and race relations. And I'll just say one thing. The porn industry seems to be getting a pass. They're the most racist media content out there. And not many people are calling them out. So,
because we're fearful to even admit it exists,
right?
To call it out, we'd have to say, hey, this is what this part of it is bad, but this part can stay. Like, we can't grapple with that as a human population. I don't think we can confront one sin without the other.
Right. So the first one is a definition. The second is a warning of all the bad, negative things that can happen as a result of porn. And I will add in one more thing, and that is child-on-child harmful sexual behavior. This child-on-child molestation, which happened with the, you know, in the family that got me started doing this, is really just burgeoning. It's a really tragic trend. Kids, it used to be thought that kids only acted out on other kids because they were the victim of child abuse from an adult perpetrator. Mm-hmm. But now we're finding out that kids are looking at pornography. Pornography is the perpetrator.
Yeah.
And they're doing what they're wired to do, and that is to imitate. Kids are wired to imitate what they see adults do. That's how they grow into an adult. But if they are watching pornography, then it's really easy to see why they would start acting out on other vulnerable children that are younger than them.
Yeah.
And so this has become a real problem. And I've been to conferences on this. I've spoke at symposiums on this. So one way to protect your child from child abuse is to warn them about pornography. I have so many stories I could tell you. About this, one woman, she was like babysitting a 10-year-old boy for the summer, like daycare. And his mom was a single mom, and everything was going fine. The kids were friends. And then one day he took her 7-year-old daughter into a bathroom and started to trying to do sexual things with her. And the 7-year-old, thank goodness, talked to the mom, told her mom, well, turns out this boy had been, the mother had found porn of every kind on his iPad 3 weeks prior. Mm. So we don't know how long he'd been looking at porn, right, but at least for 3 weeks he'd been looking at porn, and then he started acting out.
Yeah.
So when you protect, and other stories where children learned about pornography and they spoke up, and turns out their stepbrother was showing them pornography, or somebody else was showing them pornography, and it's part of grooming children. Mm-hmm. So this is one of my messages that I want to, you know, we are often very concerned about protecting our children from child abuse. Pornography, if we can teach them to reject pornography and come and tell us, then they will be so much safer from child abuse. So that's the first two things. And the third thing is this plan. So what to do? They need a definition, a warning, and a plan. And like I said before, none of us do very well when we are caught off guard.
Right.
So in the original book, I have the can-do plan. Mm-hmm. And that, the C-A-N-D-O, all stand for steps that the child can do. The first three steps are what they do immediately when they're exposed to porn. And then the other two steps are just as important. What to do with those memories that come flooding back.
Because those can bring up shame.
Shame and also temptation to go, look, curiosity.
Yep.
Right?
You're right.
What do you
You're
do right. when those things keep popping back up? You have to actually see it as a neurological issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a brain. The brain is designed to remember shocking things. How do we neutralize those shocking images? And we have a plan for that.
I love that. I love that because it's so tangible. It's so easy. And it's one of those things like we as adults have to be practicing that too. I mean, there's stuff that pops up on movies that I'm like, oh gosh, no. And if I'm not keen enough to say like, hey, that's not appropriate. Like I need to turn this off. Or if it's like, I'll just, we have to take action. And if we're not, and it's the same thing with the world and the awakening of racism that we're walking through now. Like if I'm not willing to take the step for myself, how am I expecting anybody else to do it? If I'm not taking care of my home and my four walls in teaching a better way, it's not going to be better.
Absolutely.
So this is racism. This is pornography. This is life. Like we have to be setting the example first and foremost to teach this next generation.
Yeah. And you know, we are guides for our kids. And when you think about going on a hike, if you were going on a hike in an area that you knew is infested with, you know, lions and tigers and bears, then you would lead out and make sure it was safe. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what is happening sometimes is parents are giving kids devices that they themselves don't understand. They don't understand what's on social media, what's available to these kids through some of these apps. And they're not leading out because maybe they just feel uncomfortable with technology or it's a learning curve. But I want to encourage you, if someone of my age can learn these things, and I'm a little older than you for sure, if I can learn them, anybody can learn them, really. So it's just important to make sure kids have an internal filter, so that they have the motivation and that they want to themselves, because if you make it a kind of a, don't watch those bad things, that will make you a bad person, it's a bad thing. And if it's all about badness and shame and all that, they have to internalize the desire to protect themselves at some point. And they have to know that you'll love them no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I think that what you're doing, talking to your kids until you feel comfortable, such a leg up for your children.
Man, I hope so. And it's something that I see my generation stepping up and doing a little bit more than we were taught. And so I do have some hope, but I know that we have hope in Jesus, first of all, but I know that with tools and resources like yours, like we are a leg up. Like I can only imagine had I had this as a child or what my heart could have looked like differently going into motherhood had I been prepared for everything. And granted, the sex industry has changed 10 times over since I was a kid. So I know that it's different, but the fact that we can tell our kids like, hey, this is spiritually sound, but this is also like scientific, like this, there's so many things here at play. It's not just your heart anymore. Like there's so much going on. I'm just like, just overwhelmed with gratefulness that you took the time to learn this and to dig in and to be gut punched enough to write a book for younger ones too. Like the fact that we have to sit down with our little ones and be like, okay, good pictures, bad pictures. So what is your desire when you wrote this? How did you want people to sit down and read it with their kids?
Well, I felt like that is a very comfortable thing where most parents read books to their children. And it's a very intimate, you know, thing when they're little, they're on your lap, mm-hmm. they're very close to you. And
it's a safe feeling. Safe.
Yeah. And so I felt like that was better than watching a video or, yeah. you know, just something because it's in your voice, you're reading it to them. And it's just that very intimate situation. And you can decide, you know, how fast you take it, how much you cover, you know, you can even change things up. If they're, you know, use the book however you want.
Yeah.
I feel like that really parents will know. But we did try to make it really fun. The junior one has hidden pictures of the little hidden cameras.
Oh, cute.
And so the junior one has all these little hidden cameras that the kids, you know, are looking for. And there's 19 of them. And a couple of them are kind of hard to find.
Oh, that's so fun. But, that's so good. That's so wise because it engages.
Yeah, engages them. And so we've tried to make it fun and interesting for the kids. And like I said, it really helps to jumpstart the parent getting over. And the great thing about a book is that it has a beginning, so it gets you started, has a middle, gives you a script, and then it has an end.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes if we get into a conversation, it might go on a little longer than it needs to go on. Mm-hmm. I was that way with my kids, or it might turn into a lecture, you know, instead of a conversation. So with a book, it just seems like there's the right amount of information and then you can continue. And what I was surprised at is that so many children love the book mm-hmm. and say that they, you know, it's their favorite book. That I did not see coming.
Yeah.
But see, it's empowering. They love to learn about their brain. They love to learn about what to do and they feel like you trust them.
Mm-hmm. It's a big topic. It's a big topic for little ones. And so it is, it's a very like, it's almost like a big kid thing, right? Like you're learning something new and we're putting some responsibility on you. And this is, we're going to carry this together. It's not just mom and dad doing it for you. And right. I can see that. That's a big yeah. thing.
Yeah. In bringing them in to protecting themselves. And of course we want to do everything we can to protect them, we just don't have the control that we used to have.
Yeah.
And yeah. so once we kind of admit that and realize that, I mean, in a way, it's always been this way, mm-hmm. right? It's always been that a child needs to internalize beliefs. Mm-hmm. We can never just shove them in, no matter the rules, the discipline, which is a good thing. Discipline's good. But no matter what we do, in the end, we have to persuade our children. Mm-hmm. We have to persuade them and show an example.
Yeah. yeah.
And then they get to choose. That's the truth.
That is.
They get to choose. And we get to choose to love them no matter what.
Absolutely.
That's our choice.
While I don't have the passion and drive that you have, I am definitely a huge fan of your work and as a mom, like overwhelmingly thankful that you wrote this and that you did this because it is so important. And it's one of those things where it's scary, but you have made it easy. And like you said, there's a beginning, middle, and end. And you can pick back up in the middle and you can go back. And while we started this conversation talking about like the big scariness of it, it's also so simple. It's just starting. It's just starting that conversation. And it's distinguishing the differences of sex and porn. And
right.
it's in the good and the bad. It's as easy as good picture, bad picture.
Yeah.
That's the beauty yeah. of it.
And Jeanette, you know, I did a study a while ago where we had 10 people who said, I'm addicted to porn or I was addicted to porn. And we interviewed them in depth, men and women. Mm-hmm. And what we found out, you know, they were all different, but one thing they had in common is their parents never talked to them about sex.
Yeah.
In any way that was, so where did they go? They went to sex. They went to porn to learn about sex. I mean, think about it. If you can learn about sex, privacy of your bedroom for, through an iPad or a smartphone, you know, you might think that was a good choice. And we talk about it like hiring porn. I'm hiring porn to teach me about sex. I'm hiring porn to do this job for me that I have that nobody else is doing for me in a meaningful way.
Right.
I'm hiring porn to help me deal with stress
right,
or right. negative emotions because no one's ever taught me a healthy way to do that. And I'm hiring porn to deal with, you know, all these other issues. So kids hire, and I'm doing air quotes,
right.
hire porn to do jobs for them that they're not finding other products to, you know, in the market to help them. So if we're not talking to them about sex at a young age, if we're not talking to them about and helping them to be emotionally resilient and deal with, you know, one guy that we talked to said that his, whenever he had a, you know, was upset, had an outburst, his parents would send him to his room, go to your room until you can calm down. And, but they never really taught him how to calm down. Right. Mm-hmm. So what he found was I can hire porn to help me calm down. I can right, hire right. masturbation to help me calm down and distract me. I'm feeling lonely. I can hire porn to help me, you know, not feel lonely anymore. So if we can understand that kids have logical reasons for using porn and they're not bad kids,
right?
There's a logic in it. Then we can provide those things and give them a choice, a better choice than pornography.
Absolutely. And that saves them years of heartache and heartbreak and the potentials of divorce and these things that we carry around for forever. So, yeah. Whew, man, I'm so thankful for this conversation, really and truly. And I know that our friends will gain so much from this. Where can they find the books? I think they're available everywhere. Is that right?
Yeah, on Amazon. You can find more information from our website, protectyoungminds.org, under the books page. We are developing something new, though, that I'm so excited about. And that is a curriculum called Brain Defense.
Oh,
Brain Defense Digital Safety, and we're coming out with this for like 10 to 12 year olds, but they're videos, and it's this group of six teens that model good digital citizenship and how to deal with pornography when they see it, called the Brain Gang, and they're funny. We even had an Emmy-nominated writer, comedy writer, help us with the script. So they're cute. The kids love this humor. You know, they laugh. It's hilarious to them. So we're coming out with that this summer. And so check it out on protectyoungminds.org under the curriculum tab and see if this might be something your family could benefit by having in your home. It's got, you know, workbooks and, you know, all kinds of things to help parents, but also teachers teach this in a really comfortable way, but an effective way. We've used a lot of research to build this program, prevention science to build this program. So that's something that I'm very excited about. We've been working on this for, I think it's been 3 years.
These projects are so lengthy. They're so lengthy.
They do. But, you know, it'll be a wonderful resource out there besides the books. I will just say that when kids get to be in middle school, you know, the pressure that they feel, the peer pressure increases, and they really need to be mentored and they have to have resources. And so this brain defense with the brain gang, I think it makes them feel like there are older kids that are saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
It's not cool. It's not going to be helpful.
I love that. I love that. And one of the things I will say that I just could gush over how awesome everything you do is, there's little room for like the inquisitive minds, like, but I wonder what would be exciting about this. You've removed the appeal of what could extend into like, well, maybe I should press that red button just to see what it does. So I love that you intentionally did that, I'm sure. Okay. Here's the last few questions I ask everybody. I could just talk to you. I mean, I don't want to talk to you about porn all day, but I feel like we've become friends. So yeah. Here's the last few questions I ask everyone. If you're out and about, do you order coffee or do you order tea? What's your coffee order when you're at a coffee shop?
I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of an herbal tea gal. So that's what I do. I love peppermint tea. Just love it.
Me too.
But I have my Republic of Tea at home. That's like that chocolate peppermint. Yeah. And I have other flavors too that I love. If people are out there and they're tea lovers, I don't get a kickback here, but the Republic of Tea, it's a lot of wonderful flavors.
Check it out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you on social media much? Is there somebody that you follow on social media that is like a silly follow for you?
I would say Audrey Coyne.
Okay.
She is on YouTube. She's a YouTuber. I guess I'm more of a YouTuber. She's a YouTuber and she does style and fashion and just kind of a more of a classic approach to fashion and
like
your wardrobe. And I first found her when I was planning our first trip to Europe, which we've only had one trip. So, and I was really into like, okay, how do you plan a wardrobe to go on a trip? Blah, blah, blah. We planned it for like a year and we saved up for years for that trip.
So great.
I would say Audrey Coyne.
Okay. That's a good one. I like that. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Definitely a morning person.
Yeah.
I was up at 5 this morning.
I went to bed late last night, so I've been trying to be more, I like mornings best, but I went to bed too late. Okay, and what is something you've read, watched, or heard lately that you're obsessed with?
History videos and documentaries, and I'll tell you why. It's been so crazy this year with the pandemic and now these, the race and the riots and all this stuff. And so I have been going back and watching, so I'll tell you, it's America in Color, mm-hmm. is one of the ones, and World War II in HD, which I wouldn't watch with kids. But America in Color is really, goes through decade by decade and highlights, and you really get the feeling like we've been through tough times before and we got through it. And there were times in history that it did look pretty dark for this country and the world. World War II, I guess I just, the difficulties that we have, the challenges, you know, that we have overcome, and the price that was paid for our liberty and our freedoms. Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of obsessed with history just because I want to get some perspective on all of this. It seems so crazy this year.
Yeah.
And I just want to get some perspective, and it's been comforting. Truly.
I bet. I don't doubt that at all, because it is like, I think early on with COVID, I was like, Jesse, tell me about the original flu pandemic. We like survived that, like not us, but like America survived that. So tell me, what did that look like? How did we come back? And we got to this point. So obviously we're pretty resilient, but like, I need more information. So that's, And we're farther along technologically. So I'm like, surely we can do better. Like, surely we can recover.
We can, and we are.
We are. We're doing well. So, and I am one that's saying, like, while I don't love the riots and all of these things, I'm also very pumped that there's a revolution happening. And I also am saying, like, we ask the Lord to heal our land, and you better believe he's dropping all of our idols while we're healing. So I'm like, let's go, Lord.
You know, on that score, I was looking, again, I was on YouTube just really quick, and I saw these two black kids, boys. I mean, they look like they just come from the hood, you know, but they're on there and they're doing this reaction video to Karen Carpenter, like Rainy Days and Mondays, some of these old time songs, these oldies. And I watched them. It was hilarious to see, oh man, some slow jams, you know, and it was hilarious. So
cute.
I've been watching some of those too. And it really just reminds me that we really are all brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. We can appreciate even, you know, some old music. They were listening to Pavarotti. They were listening, you know, all these things that they, you know, probably didn't grow up with, but they could appreciate. And yeah. I thought that's a great lesson. And so, yeah, I've been kind of doing that too. That was one of the things that
that's so fun.
I've enjoyed. But thank you so much for having me on. I hope this has been helpful in giving your all the moms out there and that are a little bit like, I don't know how to approach this, a way to just easily begin that conversation, be proactive, give your kids a warning. I'll just end with one story, and that is there was a 9-year-old boy who his mom read him good pictures, bad pictures. 3 days later, a schoolmate showed him porn with his phone at school. And, you know, so we saw pornography, but he recognized what it was. He came home and he said to his mom, "Mom, I knew what to do. I was scared, but I knew what to do." And what a gift that we can give all of our kids is to lift that burden, right? To give them exactly, here it is, here's the danger, and here's exactly what to do. So nobody needs to be afraid.
Absolutely. And that's just exactly what you're doing. You're giving people a tool to fight what to do.
Yeah.
And what a tool. So Kristen, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. This has been so great. Such an awesome and needed conversation in our series. And I'm just so thankful for you.
Yeah. Well, check us out on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter. And also we have a lot of free downloadable guides from our website on our resources page. If you want a guide on like how, you know, a quick start guide to get you a little more educated about the threat of pornography, we have that. If your kids have already seen pornography and they may have become interested in it, we have a guide for that and a lot more. So check it out.
Yeah, check it out, friends, and we will see you soon. Guys, I know today's conversation was a little bit different and a little bit hard-hitting and lots of just kind of like overwhelming facts. And I hope you remember that you are not in this alone. Dealing with pornography and dealing with talking to our kids about sex and all of these things, we can do together because we have people like Kristen cheering us on in our corner and creating great resources. If you have any questions about resources, please feel free to ask. I have a list of them that I'm ready to give you. And Kristen's book is linked in my Amazon store as well as in the description below. Let's be really good stewards of our kids' minds and let's protect them by doing things like this, by reading books like Good Picture, Bad Picture, and showing them the way to protect their minds now so that when they're adults, it won't be so hard. So go again, grab her book, check it out on Amazon. While you're there, grab a copy of It's Time for Jesus. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Y'all are the best.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.